Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show right here. Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're going to be here for the next hour and 25 minutes, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
It's rising today.
It's rising today. Now, some have told us in the past that the expression creek don't rise, and I understand that's bad English, but some have told us that refers to the Indian tribe.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
I don't either. But some people try to make us believe that, didn't they?
I know, but I don't fall for it.
No, so Ed and I, we don't buy it. We're going with the traditional understanding of that expression, creek don't rise, to mean
water. Because I heard that expression growing up in New England. There were no creek Indians up there. They were down here in the South.
Yeah. That's my man, Logic Ed, right there. That's why I love him. Ed Vitagliano, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
What are we doing on the...
Well...
How is the internet creek rising, Walker?
Well, the internet creek is not rising. We are not on Facebook and YouTube today, at least at this point, because...
Are we fasting?
Locally, yes, our internet. We're fasting from the internet. Our internet connection is down.
And we're not fasting. We're being forced.
It's forced fasting.
It's forced fasting.
Yeah.
And I never thought I was necessarily dependent upon the internet and email and all that. You know, I could quit anytime I wanted. No, I can't. I can't. I was trying to write a blog, and I thought, okay, let me go to Bible Gateway. Oh, no, I can't even do that.
Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Yeah, we're all twitching here.
Let me tell folks what's going on in our little world.
Yes.
That they probably don't care about.
Got their own problems.
But here's what's facing us this morning here. We don't have any internet connection throughout our building here at American Family Radio. And we're not alone, are we, Walker? Because
this is
affecting the, is it AT&T that's down around the country?
Well, I'm getting mixed signals. Some say it's a widespread problem across the country,
right,
or certain parts of the country. But some are saying they can access AT&T in other parts. So I don't know. I just know here in Tupelo, at our headquarters, our AT&T internet is out and our backup Comcast internet is out. So,
right. Coincidental?
I don't know. Maybe the Russians. But nonetheless, we're having
a I think it's the Southern Poverty Law Center personally.
Oh! There you go.
They finally found a way to get us.
Yep.
Here. So I don't know. If something happens in the world, we won't know it, people, because for the next hour and a half, because we don't have any. No, I'm just kidding. We have our cell phones, so we'll be looking down at those and acting like we're listening to you. acting like we're listening to each other for the next hour and 20. You ever been in meetings where somebody sits? You're in a meeting, and I try not to do this because I know how it is. It appears, you know, when you're in a meeting or you're in a meeting with 5-10 people, and you always got those two people, and all they do is sit on their cell phone the whole time of the meeting. And then they look up about every 5 minutes and go, huh, what exactly do you mean?
Hey, listen, you should try being up preaching at a church, people on their cell phones, and then you ask them about
it. Are you serious?
I was on my Bible. I was in my Bible app. Come on.
Well,
I saw you laughing.
And
I don't
you know
think
what,
anything
what
funny
just
in the Bible.
Done is they've not only not been paying attention in church, which I think is a sin, even though it may not be listed specifically in the Bible, but also they just committed one of the big 10.
Yeah.
They lied.
Yeah.
They lied. So
and they lied to a preacher. That's even worse.
That's three. That compounds into what?
That's a triple header.
Is that the unforgivable sin right there if you put them all together?
Not unforgivable, but it's a triple header.
Okay.
You weren't paying attention.
In church.
You lied.
You lied to your
preacher, and you lied in church. That's four.
You deserve your internet to go down if you do that.
That's four sins in one.
All right.
I'll tell you what.
Whew. All right, Ed and I, we're on a roll here.
I'm working
on rolling. Fred's not associated with anything we're saying here. He's
no, I'm just sitting back listening.
He's maintaining his...
Well, I'm in mourning.
I was going
to
say...
Okay, let's get to some real news, Fred.
I'm in mourning.
So, Walker, for those who normally watch us on Facebook or YouTube for today's issues, right now, are you telling me that we're not on there?
That's correct.
And the reason we're not on there is because...
Our internet.
Our internet here in Tupelo is down.
That's right.
What we ought to do is we need to have an 8x10 glossy taken of the team here.
I think so.
So that when this happens for our Facebook Live and our YouTube Live folks, if they need a fix, they can just pull that picture out.
Yeah.
We'll even include Brent in it.
Okay. Brent Creeley, our producer.
Our producer.
He's saying he doesn't want to be in that picture with
so
us.
So the people have that fever. They got to see us. They can just stare.
You know, we need to – don't forget about that.
Yeah. No, I won't.
Don't forget about it. Okay, so why are you in mourning, Fred?
Well, after four Winter Olympics,
where
in a row,
Canadian women's team won gold
by beating the U.S.
By beating the U.S., it did not happen for the Canadian team last night.
Finally, the tables were turned.
The tables were turned. Now, unfortunately, for people who go to bed at a decent hour, the game didn't start until 10:30 or 11.
It was 10 o'clock last night.
So I did not see this, but I watched some of the highlights this morning. The American, and we celebrate with them.
Yeah.
They did a great job. It was a close game, 2-2, and then they went into overtime, then a shootout. And
I've never liked that about hockey myself.
The shootout?
And I don't watch hockey very much, but I just think play that long and that hard, and it comes down to whoever can shoot a free throw. I just think they should keep playing until somebody wins. But that's just me. But go ahead.
Anyway, the score was 3-2. But I want to say, I wanted to say I'm a little disappointed in the reaction of some of the Canadian girls. One in particular, when they put the team that lost won silver. The Canadian team won silver. When they put the ribbon with the silver medal around this one player, she whipped it off. She took it off.
Yeah, that's bad.
Bad sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Bad sports peopleship.
Peopleship, yes. To keep Prime Minister Trudeau happy.
Yes.
So we'll say that. So I was a little disappointed in that. Apparently, an Olympic official caught up with her as they were heading towards the dressing room and said, "You can't do that." Apparently, there is a rule.
Really?
When they put the medal on you, you have to keep it off on you until you exit a particular area, the game area.
Yeah.
So she put it back on, and I think she was apologetic afterwards. So
you know what he probably told her? He's talking about an Olympic official?
Mm-hmm.
He probably said, if you do that again, we're sending you to North Korea.
The thing. All the Olympians are young. For the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a young lady who's just overcome with disappointment and she spur of the moment. I don't even hold that kind of thing against her. She'll be apologetic, you know, because it reflects on her country when she acts that
way.
Well,
I will say this, though. Enough. Finishing second to the U.S. or Canadians in hockey is unacceptable. So,
well, it rarely happens. I'll tell you that.
Home, I bet they'll find a new women's coach. But anyway, so the U.S. won a gold medal in women's hockey. What about the men's hockey?
That's coming up in the next 2 days.
Well, the U.S. got bounced out. They're out.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they got beat by the Slovakian team the night before last in overtime.
Really?
Yeah.
So who are the Canadians
No, it was a shootout.
Who's left then?
I don't know. Let's see. I think the Czechs. Maybe it was the Czech team. I think it was the Czech team that beat the U.S.
Yeah.
So Canada's still in. I'm not sure if the Russians. I'm not sure who's left in. Hmm. Once the U.S. got knocked out, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll pull for the Canadians now.
I do. I like the Canadians. Generally speaking, I like Canadians.
Yeah.
There are a few that, you know.
And he's not looking at me right now, folks. You can't see it because our internet's down.
I do like Canada. If there was one country, if I was forced to leave the United States.
We're losing
States,
people. We're losing people.
Canada would be what I pick. All right. Okay. I'm sorry.
We start talking hockey too much.
Turning off.
Yeah. You know, in Georgia, it ain't flying. You know what I'm saying to you? All right. Fred.
Onward, forward.
Break it down, Fred.
Been watching. We still have TV here.
Yes.
watching proceedings today at the CPAC gathering, Conservative Political Action
Committee.
Isn't it?
Or conference? I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, they're meeting in Washington D.C. and in fact, Vice President Pence is speaking there at the moment. But I monitored before coming into the studio a fairly lengthy speech from Wayne LaPierre, who heads up the National Rifle Association. Now, boy, they have been in the news a lot over the last week or so. protests in connection with that tragic school shooting last week in Florida. A lot of people blaming the NRA. You know, they're out there. They say they accuse the NRA of having, you know, advocating for very liberal gun laws, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, he made some interesting points. One of them being, it is the NRA that has advocated very strict restrictions on who can get a gun license, who can buy weapons, including those who are not mentally fit.
Right.
His point this morning was that he has been stopped every time, or the NRA in its efforts has been stopped every time by politicians. They are the ones that are interfering, or authorities do not carry out the rules that are on the books, restrictions that are in place now. So he made that point very strongly. In fact, he went back to a speech and played a bit of a speech that he gave some time ago. And indeed, he outlined that. And at one point, he showed an interview of himself where Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, was sitting beside him. Let's shake on, and it showed them shaking on the idea that we're going to put restrictions in place for people who have been diagnosed with mental problems that they cannot buy weapons, which, of course, goes to the debate right now with regards to the shooter in Florida. But he went further than that. He says, we have a serious problem developing in this country with not only the Second Amendment, but our First Amendment. And he says, what's happening is that people are shut down. People like the NRA are often shut down in defending the Second Amendment.
But what the mayor of Dallas is trying to do, kick their convention out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shut down speech.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh? That's what he's talking about. Mayor dangerous. That's dangerous.
Mayor Pro Tem. And of course, he went at the, he says, and I'm quoting here, he's worrying about socialism taking effect in this country. And he talked about our education system. He talked about the mainstream media, basically saying they are socialists and their tactic is to smear. And he spent some time on that. What smearing is all about is basically accusing people by just smearing them out there. And when the mainstream media doesn't identify it as a smear but goes along with something from the left, when the left is accusing somebody who is conservative of something, the mainstream media doesn't pick up on it.
The president yesterday had a listening session with students and parents. He had them in the White House. I thought that was a risky thing to do, but I think from what I saw, he pulled it off pretty well, did the president, in trying to listen to to folks who have been affected by the shootings in Florida and other places. Daryl Scott, I saw him on there, the father of Rachel Scott, who was killed in Columbine, who's been on our program, Columbine High School in Colorado. You remember that from 20 years ago, whenever it was. But I want to, we can talk about that and maybe even play sound clips, but I want to talk about something for just a moment relative to this whole issue. And I'll address this to you, Walker, first, since you are a gun enthusiast and you hunt and so forth. I mean, what I'm saying is you keep up with this issue.
Yeah.
It appears to me, okay, that what is going on with these student protests is just an emotional reaction to a horrible event that took place last week. And for the most part, and people are just sort of lashing out, venting, if you will. Now, I saw pictures of the school kids from Florida and Maryland and D.C. yesterday. Most of them looked like they were just hamming it up because they were glad to be able to skip school for some reason. I'm sorry, but that's what it appeared to me looking at these videos. One guy I saw was, you know, on top of a car in Maryland school, smiling. I'm not saying there's not a lot of sincerity here involved, but also there's a lot of herd mentality going on with these protests. Mm-hmm. But my point is, I'm not opposed to kids protesting necessarily or speaking out, having their voice heard. If there's something public policy wise that they're trying to get to, which we can talk about, have a rational adult conversation about, which could be actually helpful in preventing these kinds of things from going on, what happened in the Florida school last week. So, having said all that, I ask you, what are your observations about what this is all about?
Well, the left and Democrats have always despised the Second Amendment. Remember, President Obama?
Why would you say that?
Gun-toting, Bible-toting.
Yeah.
You know,
cling to guns. And
I think the end game, they may not admit this, and some may not intend this, but the end game will be China. We will be China. We'll be a socialistic, communist, as Ed says, Marxist country where the government can virtually do whatever they want. There is nothing keeping the government from intruding on our constitutional rights if you take away guns, because the government will not fear its citizens.
The Democrats are going to say we're not for taking away guns.
No, they won't say that, but the end game will result in that, because they also don't say they want universal health care, except for, with the exception of Bernie Sanders. He'll say he wants universal health care. The rest of them just say, well, we just need a public option. No, at the end of the day, the public option is not going to work, so it's going to be government-run health care. The same thing with firearms. Banning weapons, certain types of weapons, is not going to stop mass shootings.
Wouldn't it have stopped this guy?
No, it would not. The majority of proposals that are being put forth by Democrats and by the left, and even by President Trump, number one, President Trump said, I want to ban bump stocks.
Not a gun.
No, it's not. It's an accessory. He wants to ban bump stocks, which bump stocks do allow guns to fire at a faster rate. But he did not use the shooter in Florida did not use that.
Okay.
And the overwhelming majority of your shootings do not use bump stocks.
Okay, so that's a feel good.
The Las Vegas shooter did, but that's an exception.
The Las Vegas shooter did. I will grant them that. But the rest of them, for the most part, did not. No, bump stocks used in a mass shooting did not come around until Las Vegas.
Well, plus that's not a violation of the Second Amendment, because it's an accessory. It's not a gun. But anyway, nobody hardly uses these at all. I called it a feel-good thing. It's just something to say we did something.
The second thing that is being put forth is to raise the age to purchase a rifle from 18 years old to 21, such as with handguns, with pistols.
So that's that could be a federal law?
Well, it would. States have their own laws. So some states, yeah, I think, actually do have age restrictions on buying semi-automatic, one pull trigger, one shot.
Yeah.
But this would be federal. So there's a difference here. Some people say, well, the government should. Well, which government are you talking about? You can talk to your state legislature and change the laws of your state. But then federal law comes into play, because if I'm 18 years old and want to buy a gun, I'm living in Mississippi and want to buy a gun from California, that's going to cross state lines, go through the mail. You know, what restrictions could the federal government put?
Yeah, but you have to ask yourself, how many would the fella in Florida who shot up the school, the murderer in Florida, would he not be able to carry out what he wanted to carry out?
Right, that's my question.
If he had to be 21 years of age to purchase the gun legally? The simple answer would be, well, yes, it would have stopped it or hindered it, because he wouldn't have been able to purchase the rifle he purchased. But then you have to ask yourself, do we really think that if someone wants to murder people that they will not go through illegal means to get access to a weapon?
Listen, this is why this is such a complicated issue, problem to solve, because if I'm 18 years old and I cannot legally buy an AR-15 or some other semi-automatic rifle, but I'm a hunter, what's to stop my dad from buying it and saying, you can use my gun?
Right.
And then if that young man wants to go shoot up a school, he goes and he takes his dad's legal gun.
Yeah, well, that's what happened in Sandy Hook.
Right.
The Sandy Hook fella was mentally ill, and he was diagnosed, I believe. He went and got his mother's AR-15. Yes. And went to the school and shot up the school. So the age requirement or even the mental diagnosis would not have worked there.
Well, you know, going back to the Wayne LaPierre speech this morning, the head of the NRA, one thing he did say, and he talked about Florida, he said, we need to harden our schools. I wrote that down. And basically what he's saying, you know, we have other facilities in this country. We have airports to get on an airplane. We have put restrictions in place that stop this kind of thing. You know, almost on a monthly basis, at least, you hear about some guy trying to get on an airplane. He had weapons in his, or a weapon in a suitcase, and they caught it, et cetera, et cetera. And so what they're saying is, and of course he said this before, he said the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is to have a good guy with a gun. And stop and think
about it. Who said that?
Wayne LaPierre. That's what he said. And so I, you know, I, after all of these incidents, because of the arguments, and we've heard some of them here, and we've talked about it on the program, that an evil person intent to do evil is going to work around the laws of the land. So at some point, and unfortunately I think we are where we are with our culture, that we have to start thinking about, and the president has suggested this, that more people employed by the school, the teachers or other people who work in the school, have to be allowed to carry weapons to defend the students when somebody like this comes in, and or you start putting metal detectors at the doors and all those sorts of things. And
you know, I hear you. And maybe there are other things we could do. Every time something like this happens, there's a national conversation on what more we can do to be secure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Seems to me, after a point you reach where you go, we can't do anything else. We've done it all. Okay, it's kind of like after 9/11. What could we do to make air travel safe? We've done as much as we can possibly do. And now it hasn't happened again. No. And it may not, praise God, but I'm just saying, you in a country, I don't mean to sound, this sounds like I'm pessimistic, but I'm just saying, in a country as big as America, all right, and you have kids in schools, you can put all the metal detectors you want. You can put the National Guard out in front of the school if you want to. But let me tell you something. When 3 o'clock comes, the bell rings, hundreds, and in some cases, high schools are so weak, thousands of kids are going to get in their cars. They're going to get in the buses. They're going out to the softball or baseball field for practice. You can't protect people 24/7. These kids from being vulnerable to somebody who's excuse the expression hell bent on taking out vengeance or killing people. I'm just saying, you're not going to be. This is going to happen again. It's going to happen again in 6 months or a year, or 2 years, and we're going to come back and people are going to be saying somebody needs to do something about this. Go ahead.
Well, to your point, do you anybody here know? Walker, you might, since you've been preparing for this for your Saturday morning, for your Saturday afternoon class.
Show.
Anybody here know the largest death toll in a school attack in America?
Was it Sandy Hook?
Nope. It was in Bath Township, Michigan, 1927, with a bomb.
That's a good point.
44 people, 38 students, 6 adults, killed by a bomb. And the point I'm making is there are numerous ways for someone who wants to hurt people to get the job done.
Yes.
And I think that what happens in these kinds of tragedies, and this is a tragedy, we all agree on that, is that the left are a bunch of opportunists.
Yes.
They want to get from point A to point B, which is the Second Amendment.
And this is the way to get there.
And this is the way to get there.
And that's exactly what Wayne LaPierre with the NRA said this morning.
Yeah, and President Trump knows that's going on too.
Yeah.
I think. And I've seen all these protests of these kids, and I guarantee you ask those kids, most of these kids, 2 or 3 questions. I'm sure they're upset because there's fellow students.
People they know,
But you ask them 2 or 3 questions, they got no answers.
Right.
They got no answers. All they know is they're venting. And how do we vent? We vent at the NRA, our people.
Or Marco Rubio in Florida.
We beat him up. Why don't they go? Anyway, we can talk about this more later, but I think a lot of this is exactly what you just said, Ed.
Yeah.
And we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We still have seats available for our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, that's one tour. And then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, that is a separate tour. Now, we put them back to back so you can do both. If you're flying in from Texas or Montana or California or wherever you may be coming from, so that you can do those tours back to back with us if that's something you so choose to do. Now, Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be with us all along the way as our historian. Stephen will add context, he'll answer questions, talk about the people, the places, the events that make up our early American history. So for more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com for the September tour information.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. A state of panic has all but paralyzed motorists in the state of Oregon, anguished over a new law that allows Oregonians to pump their own gas. For decades, drivers had been forbidden from gassing up their vehicles without help from a station attendant. But now retailers in counties with a population of less than 40,000 will be permitted to operate self-service gas pumps. Instead of celebrating their newfound freedom to gas up their F-150 trucks, a number of citizens suffered a meltdown on Facebook. Some wrote about their fears of smelling like gasoline or spontaneously combusting. Others remained defiant. One resident said that he refused to pump his own gas, noting it was a service only qualified people should perform. And one newspaper went so far as to publish a 10-step guide instructing Oregonians how to fill up their cars. Step one, park your car. Sweet mercy, America. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed, Walker, and Fred. Sound like a quartet, barbershop quartet right there, doesn't it? You're listening to American Family Radio. Thank you for listening. We are not able to live video stream our show. I know many of you are disappointed you can't see us today on the internet at Facebook or YouTube, at least not right now, because that their internet's down where we live because of, and Walker says it's, did you ever find out whether this is a problem around the country or
I don't think it is because I'm online on my iPad.
Well, now our IT people told us this is a
Do you have Verizon or AT&T?
It's Verizon on this, and my phone is also Verizon, so it may just be. Oh, you're saying AT&T is down around.
Yeah, the oddest thing, and I'm talking out loud, this is not even relevant to the show, but usually you can go to Twitter.
Everything is relevant in this show, Walker.
Well, I'm glad to know that. Usually you can go to Twitter if you want to see what's breaking news and kind of get the raw feelings of people. Mm-hmm. Well, I go to Twitter and I type in AT&T outage. You know, even if it's just in Northeast Mississippi, there is not anything, a peep, about an AT&T outage. Even though there is an AT&T outage, at least affecting a region of a state or the U.S., but I don't know whether AT&T is in cahoots with Twitter and telling them to keep it on the hush-hush.
Well, I'm getting a little suspicious here because our IT people, they've been telling us this is an AT&T problem and it's affecting some parts of the country. Isn't that what we've been told this morning?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think? Were you a part of that?
You think they're kicked back across the street sipping lemonade?
No, I'm just asking.
Playing video games?
This may be a situation where people don't want to take personal responsibility for their actions. Therefore, they blame somebody else, and we aren't smart enough here to know whether they're telling us the truth or not, because we don't know how to figure it out. Except Walker goes to Twitter.
Yeah,
and there's nothing on Twitter about what our IT people told us.
So IT department across the street could be playing Call of Duty, and then at some point they're going to flip a switch and say, "Hey, we fixed it."
Yes, that's what I'm asking. I'm not accusing anybody. There's no finger pointing.
After they go to early lunch.
I'm just asking.
That's right. Hey, we'll get to this right after lunch.
Walker, you stay on top of this and find out if we've been duped by our own people.
Yeah, I'll stay on top of this.
Okay.
IT department collusion.
No, I'm just kidding.
We are just kidding.
Our team over there does an outstanding job. And they just have a little honesty issue. That's all here and there. I'm just kidding about that too. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Okay, back to the news, and we have our guest with us that normally joins us on Thursday, Jan Markell from Olive Tree Ministries. And Jan lives in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. We're not being affected by the so-called outage of internet that we're told exists here where we live. Jan, good morning to you.
Yes, thank you for having me. Good to be with you.
Jan, for those who don't know, and many of our listeners are familiar with your ministry, tell us what you do, what's your purpose.
Olive Tree Ministries helps folks understand the times, contend for the faith, and become watchmen on the wall.
There you go. Hey, Jan, it's Fred.
Fred.
Could you look up something on your internet?
That was good, Fred.
That was good, yeah.
Fred.
Yeah, we're talking to Minnesota. We've got to go 1,000 miles.
Right. Get something out.
Hey, listen, what do you think of our U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley?
Once again, man.
A star performance this week at the U.N.
Oh, she just keeps outdoing herself. I mean, she has a Sikh, S-I-K-H background.
Mm-hmm.
She now, I believe she's now a born-again Christian, and she just... You talk about a turnaround, someone coming not only from spiritual darkness into the light, but having this kind of political and diplomatic insight. And then the stiff spine to stand up to the United Nations, truly amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And standing up to Mahmoud Abbas this week.
Yes.
I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And she made reference to... what I would call Abbas's 2IC, his second in command, basically, who suggested that Nikki Haley should shut up. And Nikki Haley bounced right back and said, and yes, I'm not going to shut up, and proceeded. And then you had Abbas saying this week, threatening the U.S. with terrorists.
Yeah.
Basically, he was saying that unless U.S. Start giving us that money back that you withdrew, that maybe we'll produce more terrorists here. Well,
I think that's a good example, Fred, of just exactly the kind of character that Israel has as a so-called peace partner, and yet Israel's continually pressured and pressured and pressured. You've got to make an effort at peace. Well, look who they're trying to negotiate with. They're out of their minds. Yes, they're little children. Oh, we're not going to get our hundreds of millions of dollars from U.S. taxpayers, we're going to possibly send some terrorists. So that was the most... I posted that headline this morning to my website. I could not... I really should believe it, but I almost couldn't believe it.
Well, it goes to the heart of what goes on in the Palestinian territory. We've talked about this before. When a terrorist goes into to Israel and kills some people, gets a street named after them back on the
exactly.
West Bank.
Exactly.
And, of course, we all know they're still teaching their kids that the Jewish race doesn't have a right to exist. Israel doesn't have a right to exist. All of this is still going on. One more question for you, Jan. What do you make of this apparent building of a case against Prime Minister Netanyahu? Is that political?
Yeah, because Israel has their deep state just like we do. They have their swamp just like America does. They're a bunch of leftists, and they're out to wreck everything that they possibly can wreck. And I think, you know, again, and I hate to kind of categorize everybody on the left as under delusion, but if they're God haters, I maintain he's turned them over to a reprobate mind, and they can't think straight. But it's Israel's far left who's trying to get Benjamin Netanyahu out, and then Israel can become friends with Iran and all the other delusions that the left embraces. So it's really troubling, and Americans should not pay any attention. Now, that doesn't mean that Netanyahu didn't do some things that were, I think they were kind of marginal ethical things. He certainly did not commit any kind of treason or anything like that. But, yep, it's the deep state over there.
And I said one last question, but I have one more question for you. How real do you believe Israel is serious that if it needs to, it will attack Iran?
Oh, I think this could happen in 2018 or 19. I really do, and I'm talking with a few people, some of my radio guests, including White House correspondent Bill Koenig, who feels sure this will happen this year. It has to happen in the first year of a Trump administration. There's no guarantee he has a second. And he is the most Israel-friendly president in memory, practically, 70 years. So they want to take advantage of it while Trump is in office. Well, I think it could be this year, because every day they wait, there's more Iranian progress to nuclear, incredible nuclear capability, multiple warheads. And Israel, I don't think God would let it happen, but if it happened, obviously we know the result.
Yeah. Jan, what do you got coming up this weekend on your show?
I think your audience will be intrigued with this weekend. It's a real warning. There are what's called destiny cards out there. They're a form of Christian tarot cards. That's how bad it's getting, gentlemen. Christian tarot cards. And people, and there are certain churches promoting them. And we're going to talk about the danger of getting involved with anything like this. There can be eternal spiritual consequences. And gentlemen, next week, I am in Hawaii. So long. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
And you won't even care whether the internet exists.
That's right. I will.
All right. Jan, thanks so much for your time and your ministry. We appreciate you having you on this morning.
Goodbye. Yeah,
wow, Christian tarot cards?
I've never heard of that. They call them destiny cards.
Yeah, hold on just a second. Let me tell you, Jan's show, which is called Understand the Times, is heard on American Family Radio. And she's going to be discussing the topic she just mentioned, but that airs at noon, at 1 on Saturday, Central Time, in the afternoon. And then it airs at noon Sunday. On American Family Radio, again, Central Time, on AFR. But, I'd not heard of this.
And certain churches are promoting it?
Calling it destiny cards, I guess, where they're going to read your future. Your quote-unquote destiny.
A tarot card is something, a device that,
we always
call
them.
It's a cultic.
It's a cultic thing, yeah.
We always call them tarot cards. Is that just
it's
pronounced
tarot. It's just tarot. Because I think it's a French word or something. Okay. So the T is.
Well, you know how Southerners are. They just look at the word and pronounce it like it's.
Tarot.
Like, huh?
Yeah.
But it's tarot.
Tarot cards.
Okay, but what they are, and I know what they are, they're the, like you're saying, they're basically palm reading with cards, right?
Yeah. That's not a bad way of putting it. It's a way to.
So the Bible forbids that?
Yes. That's about fortune telling. It's fortune telling.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to, then the Bible says to stay away from fortune telling, because there's no way in the natural for me to know your future, Tim. So what these people are doing, whether they know it or not, they are consulting with demonic spirits, and that is forbidden in Scripture.
What about horoscopes and things like that?
Well, same thing. God is in charge of our destiny. Going to what they call these things, apparently destiny cards. God is in charge of our destiny, and so there is no way in the natural that your life is controlled by the stars. And so
about for people who say, and this is not me, by the way, I'm asking questions.
This is a friend of yours, right?
Yeah, exactly. my horoscope this morning, nothing about it flooding here where we live, and look what's happening.
Right.
So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Beginning to get a little skeptical of these horoscope things.
You're kidding.
The reason I'm asking the questions the way I'm asking them is for people maybe who are new Christians, or maybe people who are listening to us right now going, maybe they're not even a Christian, but they're wondering about these. They're wondering about these things, because this is a lot of this stuff has become New Age mainstream in America. I'm talking about, but so horoscopes, for example, is some any kind of thing that outside of the Bible, which tries to predict your future, for example, Christians are supposed to stay away from, according to the Scripture.
Right, Christians are not
fortune
supposed
telling,
to seek
palm reading,
fortune telling.
Right.
So all these things that are, and people are desperate to know what's going to happen to them because we're, you know, human nature is basically insecure. We don't want to feel like nobody's in charge, or especially that we're not in charge. So if I can get some information about what's coming, I can prepare myself. That is
all right. One other question.
Okay, I'm not an expert on these things.
I eat Japanese food, and they bring me this.
Nothing wrong with that, Tim.
Okay, that I'm good with that.
You're good.
Even the everything about.
Yeah, I mean
the fried rice.
Yes, you're talking about Chinese
edamame. Food. Well, Chinese or Japanese.
Yeah.
But at the end of my meal, they bring me my ticket, and they bring me those little fortune
cookies.
Cookies. Yeah. If I open that up and read that, where am I?
Well, first of all, I'd choose a different dessert. They're not all that good. But
tell them take it back to the kitchen. I'm not going to eat it anyway. I don't like them.
I don't mind eating those things. And listen, if you are reading what's in there in order to find out what your future is, that's wrong. If you're doing it to make fun of it, I think that's okay. That's what I do all the time. One time I got one that said that wasn't chicken. And so,
are you serious?
No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that was classic. That wasn't chicken. Oh, my word. But you know, none of these things, if you read them, they ever say, you know, you got two days left to live.
Yeah, this is.
Huh?
It's all.
They never say anything like that. It's always something optimistic or. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, something good's about
that
to happen.
That would kind of spoil
you.
A meal.
Yes.
What?
You never get one that says, hey, you're blowing it or.
Yeah, you get through with your fried rice and then you pull out the.
Enjoy your job.
You're about to lose
your
job.
2 days left.
Yeah. All right. So you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We were being serious there about fortune telling, palm reading, those cards you mentioned, tarot cards. Those things. That's a serious issue that the Bible says we are sorcery, witchcraft. Those things that we need to stay away from, and that I mean that in all seriousness. Christians need to stay away from those things because they are of Satan, right?
Right. It's sinful. God has forbidden us to pursue those things. So whether or not anything bad happens to you as a result is irrelevant. It's a sin. However, it also opens the door to forces of darkness. And when you open the door, sometimes something bad walks in.
Would you include Ouija boards in that?
Yes, absolutely.
Do people even use those anymore, play those anymore?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't heard that about those.
The ads are back on TV again. I noticed this in the last month or so for fortune telling, you know, the 1-800 numbers type thing.
For the
longest time it went away. Maybe that madam, whatever her name was, got caught.
Well, you know, here's the thing. For the most part, I believe most of these people are scam artists.
Yeah.
Okay, so at the very least, you're throwing good money away for a foolish pursuit. Mm-hmm. There's no way a woman with a towel around her head looking into a crystal ball can possibly know what's going to happen to you. Now, if she says something and it does come true and there does seem to be some sort of consistency to it, then obviously where could that possibly be coming from?
Yeah.
It would have to be from a spiritual source. Since it's not God, that only leaves one option.
Mm-hmm.
So,
beware. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, you can do that at comments@afr.net.
We won't get it right now, but
we'll get it later.
Yeah,
comments@afr.net because we're unable to be up on our Facebook Live right now, so you can't post your comments there. Oh, are we still down?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're still down along with other people. Our internet service is down. So that's the reason we're not on Facebook or YouTube today, in case you're just joining us wondering why is the show up as it normally is. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed Walker and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Yeah, and this is a story that's kind of gotten buried by a lot of other things in recent days. You will remember Congressman Devin Nunes of California. He's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He is the one that put together the memo that came out about the dossier, all right? Well, he has launched phase two of his investigation into the Obama administration's abuse of our national intelligence agencies. And basically what's happening is that, you know, this committee has been investigating the election, the Hillary Clinton server, and now into the dossier. They've been at this now for well over a year. So they had a lot of people come in and give testimony. Among them, former CIA Director John Brennan, former Director of the National Intelligence Agency, James Clapper, and former FBI Director James Comey. And so they were asked certain questions when they first appeared before this committee, and their answers now seem to Congressman Nunes to be inconsistent with what they found out through this dossier. And just a quick reminder once again, is basically this dossier, which was a file that was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign that eventually ended up going to a FISA court to unmask names and to spy on people, including people in the Trump administration. So they want to, Congressman Nunes now wants to bring some of these people back to his intelligence committee and say, here's what you said several months ago when you first appeared. Are you now telling us that you were not aware of these things, the dossier and what happened and who was behind it? And so they're going to be put under oath and they will have to testify, oops, I wasn't aware of the dossier, or yes, I was, but, and I don't want to say anything else. So this is about to get, if it wasn't interesting after the dossier, the information on that came public, it's going to get real interesting now, especially if when they return to this intelligence committee, it's going to be on TV and we're all going to be able to watch the answers.
Are you telling me James Comey's going to have to come back?
He is apparently on the list, on the Congressman Nunes list.
Because he was sent of this letter.
Yes.
And so former FBI Director
James
Comey.
Man, that's not good for him, I don't think. I would imagine he lawyers up and pleads the fifth or something.
They would be smart to do that if there is something in their past testimony or something in their upcoming testimony that they do not want out in public, or that could come back and bite them should the Attorney General Jeff Sessions launch an investigation, into some of the things they've said or who knew what when.
Here's what I would want to ask the former FBI director, among other things, Mr. Comey. How well did you know Peter Strzok?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter Strzok is that FBI agent. Mm-hmm.
Who's still there.
Who is still there, who had was ongoing affair with another FBI agent, Ms. Page.
Yeah.
They were exchanging messages on how much they hated Donald Trump. And they talked about a plan B if Donald Trump won the election. So, Mr. Comey, you depended on Agent Strzok here to do the interview with Hillary Clinton in July of 2016. And you didn't put her under oath. So, Mr. Comey, tell us, did Mr. Strzok do this all by himself, or did he talk to you about things?
That's why you lawyer up.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Strzok also was the one who recommended that James Comey change the language the letter that James Comey eventually read that exonerated Hillary Clinton.
But James Comey, too, would have had to agree to not put Hillary Clinton under oath when she testified for an exhausting 2 hours on, was it July 4th or whenever it was that year. She 2 hours not under oath. She at her house, and James Comey signed off on all that. Clearly, he was protecting her, showing favorship to her.
Well, they were writing the letter exonerating her before they even interviewed her.
This is why I'm going to make a prediction that James Comey pleads the Fifth Amendment here, because if he's going to go into this situation with Chairman Nunez, that there's too much there to me that he could get in trouble for perjury. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
Lying under oath.
If he lies under oath.
Is that what it's called? Perjury.
Perjury.
And he's a smart man. He would know that, and I'll bet you that he does. Like, what's her name, Lois?
Lois Lerner
from the IRS. Mm-hmm. You just plead the Fifth and drag this thing out and hope it goes away,
and hope that the Democrats take over the House
right,
in 2018 and all of this investigation ends.
That's my prediction. I think he'll take the Fifth Amendment, but he may not. Maybe he gets up there and explains all of it in a reasonable way. I don't know, but it doesn't look good right now.
Yeah.
You're listening to today. What do you think? You guys?
Well,
you got anybody, well, anybody want to join me in predicting the future of
predicting the future? I don't do that.
Okay. All
right. Well, here's the thing, and I mention this frequently. These guys, whether it's Comey or whether it's Brennan, they all know the media is on Hillary Clinton's side. And so they believe they can get away with this. You know, Peter Strzok.
Probably can.
He's still working at the FBI. Yeah.
Right. And so is his mistress.
Yes.
Right.
Right, isn't she?
Right. The whole crew, the gang's all here.
Right.
Still at the FBI. And Walker's covered this on his show. So, I, you know, like I've said before, I'm not saying what Chairman Nunez is doing is not worthwhile and has merit and should be done to hold these folks accountable, at least publicly. But as far as people going to jail, there are some people... This sounds like there's some people too powerful to go to jail. Hillary Clinton's one of them. She'll never go to jail because she's too powerful and has too many friends in high places.
That are covering.
Yeah, i.e. John.
If she's done something wrong, we need to be careful. If she's done something illegal.
Okay, here's my point. Yes, but when the FBI director says, all right, when Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State and she gets a server put in her bathroom so she can do state business and not have it be so she thinks she's escaping oversight by Congress because they'll never find out about this. You do that, which is criminal in and of itself, and then you have the FBI director say, well, bless her heart, she didn't intend to do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And that's his cover for her. The fix is in
right.
to protect Hillary Clinton as the Democrat presidential candidate, thinking she's going to win the presidency. If I'm James Comey, I'm thinking, you think I want to lose everything I have to take on Hillary Clinton when she's going to be the president in a few months?
Right.
I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying that's the way of the world oftentimes, and I think he came to the conclusion that when I want to – I just say that she didn't – he didn't say bless her heart, but I'll just say she didn't mean anything by it and let it go. Go ahead, Walker.
James Comey laid out all the felonies she committed and then said, but she didn't mean to.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody was saying was she's too big to fail.
Right.
She's too big to take down, and I'm not going to try. That's what he
said. Because I want to keep my job, too, under her administration.
Right.
One more piece of serious news we have to run. Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Got a brand new solution for securing our border.
Okay.
Rather than build a wall.
Yeah.
We just have to mow the lawns down at the border.
Because people are sneaking through in the tall grass?
In the tall grass.
Hey, Fred, we used to have expression in middle school or high school. Come again? You serious about that?
Did you have
a sound clip from this?
I wish we did. The internet's down.
She said mow the yard down a little lower.
Yeah, here's how you do it. Dead serious. Got to mow the lawn.
Nancy Pelosi.
Bless her heart.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.